Welcome to the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast. I'm your host, Mark Altman. And I have to tell our audience before I introduce our guest today, when Peter Stassa, my partner in this podcast, and I put this podcast together, one of our hopes was really to have impactful entrepreneurs and people who have amazing stories on this show. And today we have one of those and some very special. Steve Buckhalter is joining us today. Steve, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me on the show, and what a buildup. I hope I can live up to your expectations.
I love it. So Steve, you're president of the Enterprise Cleaning and Restoration Services. And I know you've recently expanded your company, which we'll get into in a few moments. But I always like to start, Steve, kind of understanding where the passion for cleaning came from. I know our audience is probably cleaning. That's interesting. So where did that passion come from? How did you evolve your life into this?
Well, it's a very good question, because as a young boy, I wanted to get away from cleaning. Cleaning was the first job I could get at age 13. So I was eager to make money, and I worked for a cleaning company. And at age 14, I said, wait a minute, I can make a little more money if I start my own business. So I started a car cleaning business, and we had free pickup and delivery. And of course, being 14, I couldn't pick up cars. So I partnered up with someone who was 17, and
smart.
We did everything from shampooing carpets to waxing the car to getting it all prepped. And we started handing out advertisements at digital back in the day. And by the end of the summer, we were doing 2-3 cars a day. So that was kind of my start into the cleaning world.
So Steve, as a young teenager, you said you were eager to make money. Now, there's a lot of young teenagers out there that aren't thinking about making money at all. So where did your eagerness to make money come from?
Well, I think it stemmed from my dad saying, if you're going to college, you're going to pay for college.
Yeah.
And we'll help you as long as we see that you're earning every penny you can. And I was always... there was always a drive in me to make money. I remember my first job paid $3.35 an hour. And to me, getting a three-figure check of over $100 was a big goal. And I had that check halfway through my first summer of work. So that was a proud moment for myself. And I said, geez, if I made this, I could make more. And
that's great.
And kept the drive alive.
Well, and Steve, I think one of the most important things and being a successful entrepreneur is understanding your own motivators.
Mm.
And I have to tell you, there are always milestones over the course of your life that you know you're going to be successful. And if you could share, we talked off camera about when you were a senior at Nichols College, that amazing statistic that I think really was a harbor for positive things to come for you.
Well, I had interviewed on every possible marketing job that came to campus. So I had a total of 49 interviews, and of the 49 interviews, I received 48 jobs, and I was sharing off camera, I'll never forget the one job I didn't get an offer for. I was chewing gum during the interview, and he said, it's not going to affect the interview, but don't ever chew gum during an interview. And I said, no, okay, great. But the 48 job offers I had, I narrowed down, and as luck would have it, I picked one that had a 7 interview process. And the last interview was against my own college roommate. And I was chosen for the job. And I loved it. Had a 4-week break before from when college ended to when it began. And unfortunately, the company closed shortly after hiring me. And I never ended up starting the job.
So, Steve, one question I wanted to ask you is, when I hear you landed 48 of 49 opportunities, especially at a young age, have you ever thought of how that might have affected your standards or expectations for future success?
Well, I tell you, as a young college student, it gave me confidence, a lot of confidence. And as every kid knows, when you're at college, there's some awkward stages. And it really, I think, in my opinion, helped launch my career world, because I said, boy, I can get anything I try for. So that was kind of my entree to the sales world.
Excellent. Now, I know you have had various side job entrepreneurial ventures over the course of your career path, but I know for about 10 to 12 years, you were working at another cleaning company doing director of sales before you started your own.
Yeah.
And what did you learn from that experience that helped you pave the way?
Well, I was always very goal-oriented, and I'll tell you the quick story. I worked for the company for 2 years, and I wanted to make more money. So I left and worked for a company in Boston, and I had a commission and a base. And the commission allowed me to feel that hunt, if you will. So the more jobs I landed, the higher I made as a salary. So I went back to the original company I worked for, which was my father-in-law's company. And I said, I'm going to grow your company by $1 million a year. And he turned to me and he laughed. He said, nobody's ever done that. And I said, I know I can do it. I said, if you give me a chance, I'll grow your company by $1 million a year. And in the course of 5 years, I grew the company from $750,000 in sales to $6.8 million. I would set a goal every day. I'd go in the office. I'd have a goal of where we stood and where we wanted to go. Every single week, I said, okay, here are the sales I have. By the end of this week, I want to be at this number. And by the end of the month, I want to be at this number to keep me on track. And as the year went on, the first year I hit 1.2 million and I hit a million by November of the first year. So it kind of motivated me more and let me know that I could do what I told them I could do.
So Steve, as you look back at, as your career has evolved and look at that kind of success you had there at that company as well, and also look at the success you've had as present CEO, managing your staff and providing amazing service to clients, what is it about you personally that think people gravitate to you and why they trust you and they're comfortable with you?
Well, I've always been an honest person, and I think I'm very transparent. One thing I tell people when I sell for my company is I said, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. It's how we deal with those mistakes that sets us aside from other companies. So I think I'm very driven. I set goals and I go after those goals. And I try to motivate my staff to do the same. And that's something that I think has come natural to me, or fairly natural to me. It hasn't always been perfect, but I think I've had a good run and some lucky times.
So all of a sudden, Steve, we're around the year 2003. You've got a tremendous amount of experience. You've established a proven track record. You're building your confidence. You've always had the entrepreneurial bug. What is that last moment that happens where you're ready to, I'm ready to take the step and really build a company on my own?
Well, it was a big step for me because it meant taking a salary that I had established that was a good salary and basically leaving what was constant to go after something that was unknown. So I started the same way that I paved my career. I knocked on doors, started Enterprise in January of 2003. And I had zero sales the first month, and I didn't have my first sale till month five.
And stuck with it.
And as a matter of fact, that client is still a client of ours today.
Wow.
It's 340 Main Street in downtown Worcester.
Wow.
But it wasn't easy. A lot of times I'd get all the way to the close of the sale, and the person would say, well, show me a list of your references. And I'd say, I don't have any references, but you could be my first
one.
That's
great. That's great.
And they'd say, I'm sorry, why don't you come back and see us when you have some references? So when I landed my first big sale, I said, finally, I've arrived. I have an account. I hired staff. And I said, I'm going to over-service this account. I'm going to, if it requires, 10 hours of clean, as it turns out, it was a 30-person account. So we needed to hire 30 cleaners.
Wow.
Off the bat. Wow. And I nurtured that account. It became a great reference. And I went back and I said, listen, you must know some people out there that you could introduce me to. And they said, well, you could try, customer next door. And I said, would you mind making that introductory call? And then all of a sudden I had account number two and then three and four and so on and so on.
So, and for our audience, Steve shared a very important detail with me off camera. I just want to make sure we include. And that is when he made the transition to start his own company, he promised his father-in-law, who became his former father-in-law, that he would honor not taking any of his clients and being respectful of that, and lived up to that and showed that kind of integrity, which you don't always see in the business world. And why was that so important to you to do that?
Anything I do, integrity is probably the most important thing. It is the most important thing to me. And at the time, it meant a huge sacrifice because one thing I didn't share, I had clients that knew me and they called and they said, oh, I heard you have your own cleaning company. Here's your first account. And I said, I can't do that. That's my father-in-law's business. And they said, but we want to go with you. We know you. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that to him. And at the same time, I was starving myself because I had no money coming in. So I never questioned that decision. It was always the right decision. And I always believe if you live your life with integrity, then good things will come down the road.
So that's a perfect transition for us, Steve. So, you know, one of the things that we really get to talk about on this show are opportunities to show resiliency and perseverance as an entrepreneur, which you just exemplified. But you had a very difficult challenge over the course, and you had built your business up to be incredibly successful. And then all of a sudden, you hit a big obstacle that was very unique. And I think it would be helpful for if you're comfortable sharing with our audience, because what you demonstrated through this story really blew me away when I first heard it.
Sure. It's something that I learned a lot of lessons from. I grew the company to $3.4 million in sales. I had a great operations manager. And one day he came to me and said, listen, I'm going to be leaving and starting my own cleaning company. And I said, that's great. You know, there's plenty of room for cleaning companies out there. Let me know what I could do to help. So I spent the first year coaching him on how to open up his company, coaching him on how to get his first account. And he had a one-year non-compete. The day his non-compete...
Wait. I got to stop you. Before you get into more details, what jumps to me immediately when I hear that is if one of my employees who I had grown and nurtured had come to me and just said to me, I'm going to now compete with you, I don't know that my first instinct would be, let me coach you and help you succeed in beating me. So what? Why was that your initial instinct?
Well, I thought to myself, okay, he'd worked hard for me for 8 years, and he deserves to have the same success that I had on my own. And I thought, well, you know, if I coach him on how to open up his company, he can be successful. And at the same time, I thought he'd be respectful of my business.
So you wanted to pay it forward?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay. So continue.
Little did I know his intentions were otherwise. A year after his non-compete, I got a call from my largest account.
Well, the first day.
The first day.
After his non-compete.
Yeah. The very first day. An email from my largest account. And it was a simple sentence. It said, effective today, here's 30 days written notice of cancellation. And I was blown away. At the time, I had no idea it was tied into my former operations manager. And I called the account and he said, everything's great with your company, but I've decided to go in a different direction. And I said, but why? And he said, I'm just trying something different. Well, little did I know I was about to lose my top 10 accounts within the period of 6 months. My business instantly went from $3.4 million in sales to $1.2 million during the course.
Well, let me interject something again, if you don't mind, sure, before you continue. So I want to know what was going through your mind in the sense that when you deliver service and you do everything the right way and your top customer informs you of that, the absolute heartbreak that you feel as an entrepreneur in this business, never mind how it happened, the fact that it just happened, which is all you know at that point, what was going through your mind?
It was just like the bottom fell out from my world. And I thought to myself, you could do two things about it. You can cry. And I did take some time to say, boy, this is tough. Or you can dig yourself back in and hunt for new business. And it was shortly after that I lost my second account. So I literally felt like I was in a boxing ring and I had one swipe across, was a hard hit.
Great analogy.
And then all of a sudden they were going for the knockout punch. And so I one day, and I did spend some time saying, why me? How could this happen to me? But I said, if I keep on that spiral, then I'm going to be out of business.
Okay, so your business, this person that you groomed, you supported, impacted your business, dropping a couple of million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're trying to pick yourself up and see where you're at. But here's the thing. You're mad. You probably wanted to lash out in some way, like any human being would want to do in that situation. Did you?
No. I did have moments where I wanted to, and I said, wait a minute. Negative energy is negative energy, and that's not going to get you anywhere. Focus on the positive. Focus on the fact that I grew the company to $3.4 million. If you did it before, you can do it again. And it was challenging because I put that focus, and all of a sudden I'd lose another account to him. And I'd have my wallowing moments and I'd say, get back on track, get focused. And so I finally dug myself in And I shared this story off air. It was, I consider it a lucky moment. I had a Great Wolf Lodge, a big hotel, met with me for a post-construction cleanup. And this was the biggest post-construction cleanup I've ever seen. It was huge. Person walked me around. Within 10 minutes, I had to give a price. She shared her budget and she said, "That's great. When can you start?" And I had a crew there the next day. And we cleaned Great Wolf Lodge from top to bottom. As a result of our cleaning, the construction company did a job out in the Poconos. And they said, "You did a great job out here. We have an even bigger project in the Poconos." So that was kind of the turning point where we kind of hit rock bottom. And the second job was about a $485,000 wow. post-construction job.
So Steve, you basically, you exhibited, exemplified trust, integrity. It backfired. It would be so easy to walk away from that experience feeling like, geez, I better not trust people again. But what were the takeaways from the experience for you?
It was really a lesson on not only paying more attention, but being involved in the business. And I said, I questioned where I went wrong, because there's a lesson. I did something wrong for that to happen. So moving forward, I tend to be in touch with all key people regularly. I want to know what they're doing, how they're doing it. I want to help them get their jobs done. And I want to be very connected with the business. I think the lesson that I learned is, as I grew, I trusted and I let people do their work. And it's okay to do that as long as you're involved and you're watching and you're monitoring and you're motivating.
It's a fine line.
It is a fine line. And it's something I haven't mastered. I don't think you ever master it. I think I'm better today at it than I was then, because I think my understanding was, oh, this person's doing a great job. Let them run.
So before we get to our last few questions, I want to share with the audience, you know, one of the reasons we spent time on this with Steve today is because when you're in a position as a business trying to find a vendor to solve a problem for you, I don't care whether it's website design, IT, cleaning and restoration, I don't care what it is. Ultimately, it starts with trusting the company you do business with. And I think that you demonstrate so many of the core values that I think businesses want to feel comfortable with when they're making any business decision. With that said, if I was to hire a cleaning and restoration services company, I wouldn't know how to differentiate. So if you were, for the people watching this that are in the mode of maybe considering hiring these, what are the two or three things, finish this sentence, if I'm deciding between who the right company is, what are the two or three things I should be most mindful of when making that decision?
Integrity would have to be number one. You want a company to be honest with you.
How do you know, though?
You get I would say it's a feeling that you get. I'm an open book, and I tell people that we're going to make mistakes, but it's important to have a system when those mistakes arise. And we've set up a system that, you know, when a mistake happens, we're there to correct the mistake prior to it becoming a big mistake. We've also set up some unique systems which really have differentiated us from other companies, which I can share with you if you'd like.
Tell us the third thing for the moment.
So integrity, number one, and having building that relationship, getting to know your client, getting to know them on a personal level, so that it's not just that we're the cleaning company, we're problem solvers. They may have something they want to talk to you about that's not directly related to cleaning, and we'll share with them through our network that, hey, you have a problem with your plumbing. You know, we'll get a plumber involved.
Well, and frankly, Steve, based on the restoration world, if you're called in for restoration, people are already distraught and stressed and anxious and nervous. So the fact that you take that time to build a relationship and help people make more comfortable. So, and by the way, I didn't mean to go so fast through your unique processes, because that is important that you have those unique processes. With that said, my final question for you today, Steve, is I know you've had so much success recently that you've expanded to restoration. Mm-hmm. And you've taken your cleaning company, added the service of restoration over the last several months. And what prompted that? What gave you the confidence and courage to add that to your repertoire?
Well, I for the last 15 years, I've always seen missed opportunities. We would get calls about floods in buildings, and we'd respond first, and we'd clean up the flood, and then we'd turn it over to a ServPro or a ServiceMaster or another large restoration company. And I said, boy, one day I kind of scratched my head, and I said, we're giving another company business. This is right under our roof. And so we did some research, and we ended up hiring a team of certified technicians. Our lead person is 25 years in the industry, and we started building, and this is new for us, started building infrastructure among flood, fire restoration, disaster cleanup, mold remediation. And although we've only been doing the services for about 4 months, we've had five major cleanups in the last 4 months. And from what I understand, the prime season is the winter time. So we're cruising towards winter time and building up infrastructure. This past week, we hired two new people that we're training so that when the time hits, we're going to be ready and able.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us. I find you're such an easy guy to root for. A company that represents the values of entrepreneurship. So thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
So on behalf of Peter Stassa, I'm your host, Mark Altman, and thank you for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast.